This is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft.
We've had all the pomp and circumstance. We've had all the fuss and feathers. But it's time. It's time for Dodger baseball.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Tusby Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Saturday afternoon as I'm here with you for an hour today until 7 o'clock. It has been quite an eventful week. And that's probably putting it very mildly, as the sports world has lost two icons in a span of 3 days. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in, as we're going to start off the show talking about the man whose voice you just heard as part of the introduction. That is the late, legendary broadcaster Vin Scully, who passed away late Tuesday night. And for those of the East Coast, it was early Wednesday morning. Vin Scully, there is truly not enough words that I could use to sum up the emotions and the feelings of how massive of a loss it is. Not just only in baseball, but throughout the sports world. Vin Scully is the greatest sports broadcaster of all time. Vin Scully is the golden standard for what you should aspire to be if you are an aspiring broadcaster in this industry. Vin Scully was one of, if not the biggest inspiration for me as to why I ultimately decided that I wanted to get into sports broadcasting. First as a play-by-play announcer, later as a sports radio host. Vin Scully, when he passed away late Tuesday night at the age of 94, I found out the next morning when I woke up around 6 a.m. And when I saw the news, I was stunned. I was stunned and saddened because oftentimes in life we tend to think about how certain legends never die and you think that they're going to live forever. And Vin Scully, his passing reminds me and should remind us all that ultimately our time on this earth has to come to an end. Vin Scully's impact goes beyond just one generation. We're talking almost 70 years. 70 years that he blessed us all with his voice, his candor, his storytelling ability, to essentially tell exactly how he saw it and what was happening in front of his eyes, and describing it in such a way that he himself could not have been the more perfect artist with words, the perfect artiste to use the paintbrush on the canvas. He was that broadcaster. He was that guy. And there's very few guys in sports, in the broadcasting profession that is, that you look at and you say that his talent or her talent transcends generations to generation to generation. That was Vin Scully. Vin Scully, for me, as someone who I first started listening to Vin Scully in the summer of 2006, and I want to share with you this story because this is a story that not only inspired me, but I hope that whoever is listening to this show, whether it be on local radio or you're streaming it on the TuneIn Radio app, can actually learn from. So I explained this story on Thursday night on the Diehards on National Sports Radio, that is on the Sports Map Radio Network, with close to 100 radio affiliates across the country. So the first time I listened or watched Vin Scully was the summer of 2006. I was 14 years old. I had just finished my freshman year of high school at that time. Comcast usually does the MLB Extra Innings pre-preview the first week of the regular season and the first week following the All-Star break. So at that time, I admittedly had an obsession with the then Fox Sports Network regional networks. And I knew that Dodger games were on FSN Prime Ticket at the time. The Dodgers happened to be playing at home. And Vin Scully was behind the mic. And just listening to him was like listening to someone deliver smooth and silk poetry in motion. And as a 14-year-old, I remember distinctly thinking, man, that sounds so smooth, calm, and relaxing. And being able to just soak in what he was talking about, not just the game, but also his ability to add in his own style, his own way of delivering commentary during the game. Because as many of you know, he broadcasted games by himself for a very long, extended period of time. And he did it better than anyone else has ever done so. And as someone who has broadcasted games solo, I can't tell you just how difficult it is. I do it for football. Not an easy thing to pull off. Baseball, there are some challenges here and there, but I haven't done it solo for baseball. But for him to do it alone, no color guy, for as long as he did, was truly remarkable, and it spoke volumes to not only his talent, but his abilities to tell stories. In fact, true story, this morning, I had an opportunity to scroll around on YouTube on my phone as I'm laying in my bed, as I was struggling to go to sleep this morning. And I watched the top of the first inning of the Cardinals-Dodger game, which also happened to be Clayton Kershaw's Major League Baseball debut back in 2008. I watched that entire top of the first inning between the Cardinals and Dodgers. And Vin Scully called that game. And I couldn't help but just to feel as if I could just relax, enjoy listening to what he was saying. So, which brings me back to the summer of 2006. I'm listening to Vin Scully, and I'm watching him on MLB Extra Innings as he's doing the game on TV. Little did I know that the Dodgers would have the first three innings of the game that he would broadcast. It would be simulcast both on TV and radio. So if you were listening on the Dodgers radio network or on MLB.com at Bat app, you were able to listen to him on radio the first three innings of the game. And then the Dodgers regular broadcasting crew of Charlie Steiner and Rick Monday would come in to broadcast the remainder of the game. So that was my introduction to Vin Scully. And from that point on, I was hooked. So whenever I had the chance and whenever I had MLB.tv, which for me started in 2007, I would watch Dodger games just to listen and observe. Because I knew that one day I wanted to do exactly what he was doing, and that is be a play-by-play broadcaster calling baseball games. My journey is just getting started. I'm blessed to do play-by-play on ESPN Plus now. And I've done a couple of baseball games already, college baseball, that is. But I even realized when I went back and I listened to what he did in the games that he called, it takes such a special talent for you to be able to talk about the game itself and give tidbits of information on players. Like, case in point, like Vin Scully would talk about Clayton Kershaw. He would talk about he would go to high school in the Dallas area, and one day he was throwing bullpen as the 2-2 pitch is a breaking ball, missing low, ball three. As he was throwing bullpen one day to his backup catcher, Clayton Kershaw was talking with the pitching coach. Like, you basically just observed, and you couldn't help how he did it so smooth and so seamlessly between the game and the story. Game, story. And no one did it better than Vin Scully. And then not to forget, he obviously, he did NFL on CBS for a number of years. Terrific football broadcaster. And this was someone who I absolutely adored. I idolized. I looked up to him in terms of someone who is the ultimate golden standard in the broadcasting industry. The most memorable interview that I've ever heard him do was back in 2012. And this interview, I still remember so vividly 10 years later. This was during the spring semester of the 2012 school year, during the spring semester of 2012, I remember listening to WFAN on my phone. And there was a link in which there was an interview done between Mike Francesa, sports radio legend, one of the two godfather of sports talk radio, him and Christopher Mad Dog Russo being the other. He interviewed Vin Scully. And there was a question that was asked. What advice do you have for any young, aspiring broadcasters? And Vin Scully's response was one I will never forget. And I listened to it, like, time and time again. And Vin Scully said, don't listen to other broadcasters. And my ears perked, because it was just so shocking to hear as someone who was so accustomed to listening to him, listening to his cadence and the way that he would talk and seamlessly shift between the game and the story that he was telling and so forth. It was like, really? Wow. Don't listen to him? Like, that's shocking. But no, his point was, don't listen to other broadcasters, because he learned this from his mentor. And for those who don't know, his mentor was the legendary Hall of Famer Red Barber, legendary baseball broadcaster. And he would tell him, Red would tell Vin, Don't listen to other broadcasters. Because it would water down your product and your on-air performance. And Vince ended his comment saying, be yourself. Just be your true, authentic self on the air. And that information and that advice, 10 years later, has stayed with me. And it's the same advice that I would tell anybody that's trying to do this for a living, whether if it's sports radio hosting or play-by-play, or even if you're just producing content or sports media content on like social media, be yourself. Don't try to be like anybody else. You have to be able to find your voice and feel confident and comfortable enough to be able to demonstrate that on a consistent basis. But what an immense loss Vin Scully is to the baseball world and the sports world. And even though it's been 3 days since his passing, I still think about all of the memorable games and the times I've had the privilege of watching Vin Scully and just listening to him, whether if it was a Dodger game that was simulcast on MLB Network and they would have the Fox Sports Prime Ticket broadcast then and now, the Sportsnet LA, the Dodgers' own sports network, I would just listen. Like, nothing else mattered or nothing else was just going on. I just wanted to listen. So Vin Scully is gone at the age of 94. But rest assured that his legacy and his impact on the sports world as we know it will not only never be forgotten, but it is something that I think we should absolutely all appreciate and cherish. Because if there's one thing that I'm confident in saying, I don't think we will see anything with the likes of it ever again. A career with such longevity, the accomplishments staggering, and his ability to reach every single generation, his entire audience, wherever they were, was something to marvel. And even now, as I think about this, Vin Scully, his impact, his candor, the legend that was behind the mic, his memory is going to forever live on. I'm going to play for you the final sign-off that Vin Scully did on October 2nd, 2016. The final Major League game that he announced as he sailed into retirement. This is what it sounded like on Sportsnet LA. Here we go.
Many years ago, a little redheaded boy was walking home from school, passing a Chinese laundry, and stopped to see the score of a World Series game posted in the window. The Yankees beat the Giants 18-4 on October the 2nd, 1936. Well, the boy's reaction was pity for the Giants, and he became a rabid Giants fan from that day forward, until the joyous moment when he was hired to broadcast Brooklyn Dodger games in 1950. Ironically, October the 2nd, 2016, will mark my final broadcast of a Giants-Dodger game, and it will be exactly 80 years to the day since that little boy fell in love with baseball. God has been very generous to that little boy, allowing him to fulfill a dream of becoming a broadcaster and to live it for 67 years. Since 1958, you and I have really grown up together through the good times and the bad. The transistor radio is what bound us together. By the way, were you at the Coliseum when we sang Happy Birthday to an umpire? Were you among the crowd that groaned at one of my puns? Or did you kindly laugh at one of my little jokes? Did I put you to sleep with a transistor radio tucked under your pillow? You know, you were simply always there for me. I've always felt that I needed you more than you needed me, and that holds true to this very day. I've been privileged to share in your passion and love for this great game. My family means everything to me, and I'll now be able to share life's experiences with them. My wife Sandy, our children Kevin, Todd, Aaron, Kelly, and Catherine, along with our entire family, will join me in sharing God's blessings of that precious gift of time. You folks have truly been the wind beneath my wings, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me on this incredible journey of 67 years of broadcasting Dodger baseball. You know, friends, so many people have wished me congratulations on a 67-year career in baseball, and they've wished me a wonderful retirement with my family. And now, all I can do is tell you what I wish for you. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life seems, a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song and an answer for each prayer. You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me. And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year. And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
Coming up next, I'm going to share with you my thoughts on the Patriots training camp so far. Plus much more, plus my thoughts on the passing of Bill Russell, who passed away a week ago tomorrow. That and much more coming up next, right now, or coming up after the break, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org, as I'm here with you for another 30 minutes or so, as I'm here with you for an hour today. And it's truly been one of the most eventful weeks in sports that I can remember in quite some time. And I figured that today would be a good day for me to come in, although this is not my regular slot. I will be back in my regular slot on Monday, so give everyone an early heads up. I will be doing a full two-hour show during my regular slot from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Monday afternoon, God willing. So, like, so that's the early tea. So, like, it was good to be here today, but also I will be doing a full show on Monday from 5 to 7 as well. So, if you have any thoughts of Vin Scully or anything else in terms of what has gone on this week, or even Bill Russell, which I will talk about during the next segment, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show, as I'm here with you for another 30 minutes or so. But for right now, now will be a good time to talk about the men on the gridiron, because the New England Patriots training camp has started, and with all of the hoopla and the excitement surrounding the Patriots' new season that's starting up in very short order, there are some question marks and some general concerns that I do have with this team moving forward. And that is, so far from what we've seen and what we've read, and I, for me, I'm talking about from what I have read, because I haven't been down to Gillette so far during this training camp. So I'm going based upon everything that I have read in terms of articles, columns, and so forth, that it seems as if that the defense for the Patriots is ahead of the offense. Whether if that is a good sign or a bad sign for the immediate future, that remains to be seen. But here's my take as to why I think that is something to keep an eye out for. Because if anything else, I'm a big believer that you need consistency, you need continuity, you need a lot of different variables and factors to go your way if you're going to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. And I talked about this on the show before, how the loss of Josh McDaniels, now the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, is going to be a big one. It's going to be a big loss. Just for the fact that, number one, an experienced offensive coordinator, someone who was a constant ear in Mac Jones last year, he's gone. And now, from what it seems like so far, based on all of the reports, all of the columns that have been written, it's been Matt Patricia who's been calling the offensive plays, with Bill Belichick looming in the background. Matt Patricia is basically as if he is the substitute teacher filling in just to do an admirable job until someone comes along and does it better than he does. I'm not entirely convinced that Matt Patricia knows what he's doing. Is it early? Sure. Am I cursing or throwing a complete rave at the guy? Not entirely. But can we all be honest with ourselves for just a moment? Like, this is the equivalent of, screw it, we're just gonna wing it and see what happens. This is exactly what it is. So, you wonder why the Patriots offense is lagging behind the Patriots defense so far in training camp? That's one reason why. Because when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. We haven't even gotten to the first preseason game for the Patriots, which, oh, by the way, it's coming up in 5 days on Thursday against the New York Giants at Gillette Stadium. And yet we're talking about the Patriots running a dumbed down version of the offense that they would typically run in the past, even going back to last year with the new quarterback under center. We're talking about whether if Matt Patricia is going to be the guy, although he's not the official offensive coordinator for the 2022 Patriots, but you wonder, based upon what you have read and what you have seen, for those of you that have been down at Patriots training camp, is this exactly a recipe for success or a recipe for disaster? I think so far the early returns have been that it's been a recipe for disaster. Things can change. So I'm not saying that this is going to be a complete total train wreck from here to the end of the season offensive for the Patriots. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the early returns, based upon what you've seen, hasn't been good. So that should leave you pause for concern, pause thinking, is this something that can work? Not just only in training camp, but once the season begins and the games matter? Folks, when you have Mike Reese, one of the most, if not the most respected Patriots reporter out there covering the Patriots for ESPN, wondering what the hell is going on down in Foxborough, that's not good. Even the most respected team reporter who covers a team for a national sports network is wondering, Matt Patricia is calling the offense so far. The offense has looked rather anemic at times. And then, oh, by the way, red zone offense is still just as bad as it was last year, especially down the stretch in the last five games, where the Patriots offensively in the red zone looked as if they were just walking in a bottle of syrup. Slow and absolutely not quick off the ball. Is this something that you think that you can get by with this entire season? No. Anybody with half a brain who understands football could clearly see that. The defense, I'm not entirely worried about. What I am concerned about is this. Based upon everything that I've read and everything that I've been reading up until this point, Mac Jones has shown signs of frustration. And that's okay. Mac Jones should be frustrated. Is he frustrated with himself? Sure. Or is he frustrated with the fact that it just seems as if that I should be ahead of the curve right now, but for whatever the hell is going on, it just seems like I and the receivers are not on the same page. Everything that I've read so far has indicated that he's not getting the ball out as quickly as he did last season. That's not good. Again, this is training camp. They haven't even played their first preseason game. But we're going to talk about what we have read and what we have seen through the various media reports and outlets talking about what's going on with the Patriots, because there is an air of concern and curiosity as to, can this work? Can this work? And as far as the defense is concerned, because I want to spend some time talking about the defense here. The one thing that I will say that I am most impressed with so far is that it just seems as if, although there is no Deontay Hightower, Juwan Bentley has been the guy so far in terms of the linebacking core. And that's something that I think could really serve this team well. We don't even know if Hightower is going to come back or not. There's no official announcement saying that he has retired or whatever else. Who knows? But if Juwan Bentley can step up big this season, and then we talk about guys like Josh Uche or Ferne Jennings and so forth, him in itself could be the void that gets filled, that steps up into a bigger role in the front seven for the Patriots this season. But I really like this the secondary, what I've seen so far based upon what I've read. And it just seems as if that they are coming along just fine. Jalen Mills has been absolutely terrific. And that's what you were hoping for, especially for a guy who I think is going to be the number one corner for this team this season. Hot take or dumb take, you take it and do whatever you want to do with that. But between Terrence Mitchell, Malcolm Butler, Jonathan Jones, and Marcus Jones, Jalen Mills has the opportunity to become the number one corner on this team. Now, as far as the safety or concern, Adrian Phillips, Kyle Dugger, and Devin McCourty, this is a safety group that's got a chance to be pretty damn good. So defensively, as of right now, I'm not worried about entirely. Offensively, that's a whole different game. I'm concerned. I'm concerned in terms of the play calling. I'm concerned in terms of the development of Mac Jones. I'm concerned more than anything else as to how long can this possibly last before Bill Belichick says, you know what? We have to change things up here because what we've been doing is not working. But the next question is going to become, how long will it take before he finally comes to that conclusion? Because we know that Bill Belichick is stubborn. That we all know. He's stubborn to no end. It's my way or the highway. If you don't like it, you can basically go F off. That's basically Bill Belichick. But, however, if we're going to talk about the offense, we got to start asking the important questions. How healthy will James White be for this upcoming season? Coming off a major injury that ended his season last year. Can Damian Harris continue to carry the rock and be that guy in the run game? Can Ramondre Stevenson be an important feature back for this Patriots offense, who I personally believe is going to rely not just on one guy, but three guys in Damian Harris, James White if healthy, and Ramondre Stevenson? Those are all questions that we won't truly know until we start to see the preseason games. And that's obviously starting on Thursday. But as far as training camp is concerned, as far as what we know based upon like what we have been seeing in reports as it pertains to the Patriots offense, man, we haven't played even a preseason game. And the questions are beginning to surface. But I'm not panicking. There's no reason to panic. For God's sakes, it's August 6th. Why the hell am I going to panic now? But if you're a Patriots fan, why aren't you going to start to ask questions and wonder out of curiosity, is this going to work? How is this going to work? And is this something that could be a solution, a viable option for the long term? And to be frank with you, I don't even have the answers. None of us truly have the answers. So this is what I'm going to do from here on out. From now until week one, and even after week one, I'm going to exercise a wait and see approach. Let's wait and see how it all unfolds, because let's be honest, this is only a matter of time before this either unravels or this actually comes together and works out for the better. But right now, it's not working. So there is no reason to panic just yet down in Foxborough, which is why I understand that they're not making any sort of changes yet. I get that. Phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in, as I am here with you until 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We are going to take a music break, as when we return, we're going to talk about Bill Russell and his impact, plus give you some interesting thoughts on why the Boston Red Sox are absolutely playing with fire. I want to give you my thoughts on that. That and much more and your phone calls coming up next here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Freeform listeners, the president of Tufts University.
This is Tony Monaco, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Pop quiz, which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Kisses of the sun were sweet, I didn't blink, I let it in my eyes. Like an exotic drink, the radio playing songs that I have never heard, I don't know what to say. Oh, not another word, just la 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 la. It goes around the world, just la 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 la. It's all around the world, just la 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 la. And everybody's singing la 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 la. And now the bells are ringing.
La 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 la
Welcome back to the Shook Me Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. As we have just under 10 minutes remaining in the program before we hand it off to Mint Green, hosted by DJ Sweet D, coming up at 7 from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. So that's coming up after this show. But in the meanwhile, I want to have an opportunity to talk about the passing of Bill Russell, as tomorrow will mark the 1 week anniversary of his passing at the age of 88. And we had the opportunity to talk about this on national radio, on Sports Map Radio, this past week on Thursday, in which one of the things that I made abundantly clear, and I really spoke passionately about this, and I'm going to have an opportunity to do this now, in which that when you begin to talk about Bill Russell, you can't even start with the 11 championships he won as a player for the Boston Celtics, in which that won 11 titles in 13 years. You just can't. Bill Russell's legacy goes beyond the basketball court. He was a civil rights icon, someone who was a very important figure in the 1967 Cleveland Summit, someone who fought and advocated for equal rights, especially for African Americans in this country, not just only in sports. I mean, I could sit here and talk about he was the first African American head coach in professional sports, which that in itself is incredible and astounding when you think about it. But his legacy doesn't even begin there. What he did and what he had to go through, unfortunately, in a time in which African Americans were treated very poorly by their white counterparts in this country, during a time in which Jim Crow was still a thing in the United States, Bill Russell continued to persevere through, which is really a great testament to his character and his strength, that he would use his pain and the pain of what he went through, even after his career, to speak up and speak out against injustice is something that really spoke volumes to not only his character, but to Bill Russell, the individual himself. I don't think I would be sitting here today if not for the contributions of Bill Russell or African Americans who came before me who've had to fight through bigotry and racism, things that I couldn't even begin to imagine going through. But they went through it ahead of me, which is why I look at men such as Muhammad Ali, the late Muhammad Ali, may the Almighty have mercy upon him, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown. I look at those men with respect because they paved the way for African Americans to come after us, after them. They paved the road for African Americans to be able to compete in sports and to do it on a fair playing field where they didn't have to worry about being separated from their teammates because their teammates were white and they couldn't sleep at the same hotel as they slept in. And that was part of what Bill Russell went through as well, unfortunately. But when you begin to think about Bill Russell and the legacy that he leaves behind, you think about how he has impacted today's NBA on so many fronts. And not just only today's NBA, but the legends of yesteryear. You've seen the quotes by now, I'm sure. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Oscar Robertson, the legend himself, and the list goes on and on, that have all come out and talked about Bill Russell and what he means and what he still means posthumously to them, to the league, to the world. Because his impact wasn't just solely about sports. Sports was just a vehicle that Bill Russell used to champion for betterment in society and the world at large. That was Bill Russell, gone at the age of 88. And while I still have a couple of minutes left before I wrap up the program, I want to have an opportunity to share my thoughts on the Red Sox, and as well as the trade deadline that came and went this past week. And that is, when you look at the Red Sox now and you wonder where they're heading, I wonder what was truly the intent of the Red Sox as they came and they passed through the trade deadline. They traded away Christian Vasquez to the Houston Astros. Meanwhile, they acquired Eric Hosmer from the San Diego Padres in a deal. So it wasn't as if that they were entirely sellers, but they weren't entirely buyers either. Because losing Christian Vasquez was tough. There's no question about that. Considering what he means to the Red Sox behind the dish, catching games for them, you know, being a vital part of, you know, the pitching staff and whatnot. But there is one question I want to leave with you, and I'll have an opportunity to talk about this with you tomorrow, as I will be on the airwave beginning at 3 p.m. from 3 to 4 tomorrow. I want to leave you with this question and with this thought. If the Red Sox weren't going to be complete buyers or be complete sellers, what is the intent of the Boston Red Sox in 2022 and going into the offseason, considering the biggest question mark surrounding the franchise for the remainder of the season is what will happen with Xander Bogaerts? Will he get extended, or will Bogaerts test free agency and, which will he will more likely do, and sign somewhere else? Because those are legitimate questions that have to be asked. Because I walked away from the trade deadline thinking to myself, this is confusing. They weren't buyers, although they did acquire Eric Hosmer. They finally have a competent first baseman. Congratulations, Chaim Bloom, for finally coming to your senses and realizing that Franchi Cordero was an abject failure of a project at first base in the major leagues. Meanwhile, you traded away an important part of your roster in your starting catcher in Christian Vasquez. Dude, that's interesting. Very, very interesting. So that is a question I'm going to leave with you to think about. And again, we're going to be back with you tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. I will give you my full thoughts on that then. But stick around, because coming up next, Mint Green with DJ Sweet D is coming up next from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Please do me this favor, if you're going to be out this evening or even tomorrow, stay cool, because this is the second heat wave that we've had in recent weeks. And honestly, I don't even know how I'm doing it, but I walked 5 miles earlier today. I kid you not, true story. I walked 5 miles in which I haven't even done in a year. But when I tell you that the heat finally did get to me this morning, or it did get to me, but it was good to break a sweat. But if you're going to work out, please stay hydrated, stay safe, stay cool, take care of your bodies, and do what you can to ensure that you are still standing upright by day's end. Mint Green Sweet D is coming up next. This is Shukri Wrights signing off. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio. I will talk to you again tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Peace.